Every year, more than 3 million reports of child abuse are made in the United States, involving more than 6 million children. When each of those children enters the system, they could be forced to go from agency to agency in local law enforcement and child protection systems for repeated interviews and conversations about the abuse they've suffered. But child advocacy centers, known as CACs, can change that reality. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director at SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Giselle Palaz with the Center for Alexandria's Children, a CAC located in Alexandria, Virginia. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Today, we'll discuss how child advocacy centers work to put the child first, how important that work is to the well-being of our communities, and where local CACs currently exist. So before child advocacy centers, what happened when a child, a case of abuse was discovered?
So these cases of child sexual abuse and severe physical abuse were extremely difficult to prosecute, as I'm sure you can imagine. In a lot of cases, it's one person's word against another person's word. In these particular cases, it's a very, very young, tiny little person's word against another person's word. So, you know, just as you had described before, children went from place to place for interviews by people who were professionals who were very well-meaning, but didn't have a lot of expertise in terms of children's developmental levels or how they narrated or how they told about events that happened to them. The multiple interviews were huge and caused a lot of undue trauma, and a lot of children weren't believed because they weren't always consistent. And consistency in children's statements are just very, very one of those pieces that's really intangible and kind of difficult to get to. So they were also not getting the specialized services that they needed to heal. When children's advocacy centers came along about 25 years ago, it really did change the way that the system responded to them and made it a lot better.
So tell us about that experience now when there is a CAC involved. How is a child's experience different?
Absolutely. So as opposed to before, when that child would have to go, let's just say to, if they made their report to the teacher, they would have to then go to the principal's office. And then maybe their parent would come and a social worker would show up and speak to them while the nurse is present and while the principal is present and while their teacher is present. And then from there, they'd have to go down to the local social service department and tell their story again there. And then perhaps if they move to that next step, they would then go to the police station and have to repeat that story once again. Now, the Children's Advocacy Center serves as a focal point, as one single place that's child-friendly, that's been established for them, where they can go, where they can tell their story, story of abuse one time, while all of the different professionals who would need to hear, who would potentially need to become involved with that child and in that case, come and meet them and respond to them. It's multiple points within a system actually meeting in one child-friendly space and putting the needs of the child first.
And you had mentioned earlier that the importance of how you talk to a child. So these are also places that are really trained in how to ask questions to a child so that you don't lead them or confuse them and get the information that's really needed, right?
Absolutely right. Yes, the professionals that we work with have just received countless hours of specialized training and have spent a lot of thought and time and thinking about children. And there are a number of different interviewing protocols out there. But the ones that children's advocacy centers focus on are the ones that put the children's developmental needs first, that understand children's perspectives and the unique way in which they provide us with really factual information that we as grownups might not always see, but is completely accurate. And I'm sure, you know, many listeners have stories of children giving them some information that seems a bit fantastical, but in reality, you know, when you look at it from their perspective, it makes total sense.
Mm-hmm. And you all use what you call a multidisciplinary approach. Tell us what that means and the value of that to the system.
Sure. Every children's advocacy center, the heart of every children's advocacy center is the multidisciplinary team. And I'm talking about professionals from law enforcement, from social services, from the medical and the mental health professions, and from prosecution. We work with police detectives, with child protective services, social workers, CPS. We work with criminal prosecutors and SANE nurses, sexual abuse nurse examiners, and therapists, and counselors, and forensic interviews. All those professionals work together to ensure a streamlined, effective, and efficient investigative process that helps that child heal from the abuse and also holds offenders accountable.
Which leads us into my next question. We can see the value for that child of not having to repeat their story and only sharing it with people who know how to receive it and then how to help that child heal. But there's a larger benefit to our community at large, isn't there?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, there's a significant cost savings associated with having a model of response that's collaborative and efficient and takes multiple professionals doing their own thing and actually having them come together to do that one thing together. So there's a huge cost savings per case for communities, and that really has to do with the time that professionals used to work separately, now working collaboratively. But there's also a long-term savings as well, as I'm sure you can imagine. Child abuse, child sexual abuse, and severe child physical abuse have been linked to substance abuse, gang involvement, teen pregnancy, domestic violence. And early intervention and getting that child on that road and that path to healing very early on when they first make their disclosure can have a huge impact on the future long-term health of communities. Each CAC is unique. Each CAC meets the needs of their own local community. But I will say that communities who have children's advocacy centers are more empowered to better serve child victims of abuse. They get more knowledge about how to prevent child abuse as well. Last year alone, over 1 million individuals received child sexual abuse prevention training through children's advocacy centers and their partners.
Wow, that's quite a statistic. Let's talk about sort of the individual child and family. How does the CAC interact with the parent and the family of the child?
The family is critical. And unfortunately, we can't always predict what kinds of cases will walk through our doors. One of the things that we know about child abuse and child sexual abuse is that children are not abused by strangers. They're often abused by people that they know and people that they're close to. So children's advocacy centers see children in a variety of situations, and it might be a scenario where their family member is the abuser. And we're mindful of that dynamic. They might also be in a situation where one of their family members is the abuser and the other one is trying as hard as they can to protect them, but also has a relationship with that abuser and has to make a decision a lot of times about, do I believe my child or do I support the person who is currently supporting our entire family? And that's rough. The family... Our advocates, our forensic interviewers, and our social workers and detectives work very, very closely with the families of the children who walk through our doors, providing as much support as possible because we know that they're in crisis at that time. And that kind of support in that moment can really make a big difference in the long run for what that family will decide to do, whether or not they'll move forward with prosecution, whether or not they'll move forward with following up with therapy, or even a specialized medical exam. So that moment when we can work with the family and help them get through that crisis point of a child making a report of abuse is critical.
And critical to the child's healing, too, because
absolutely.
I know some of the research from the CAC says that the relationship or quality of care from the non-offending caregiver is really the key factor about how that child's going to recover from the trauma.
That's exactly right.
So before a case reaches the Child Advocacy Center, do people report directly to the CAC, or what sort of advice do you give our listeners if they have concerns about a child?
Sure. Well, each community is different, and each community has their own child abuse reporting line. And knowing what those lines are in whatever jurisdiction you live in or happen to be in are really important. Now, in the city of Alexandria, our child abuse reporting line is actually housed within our CAC. But as I said, every jurisdiction is different. And, you know, knowing what's out there, checking SCAN's website to see what, you know, the different our local jurisdictions and what their reporting lines are is important.
Absolutely. I know your CAC in particular is also involved in strengthening our community to prevent future incidences of abuse. Can you briefly share with our listeners how your CAC partners with others in the community to do prevention work?
Absolutely. I think that our Children's Advocacy Center is in a very nice position because we're a nonprofit agency and we're a public-private partnership. So we, while working really closely with the City of Alexandria, we also are able to have very strong relationships with the other nonprofits in the community, including SCAN, and have partnered with both local and nonprofits in the City of Alexandria to provide child sexual abuse prevention training through our Stewards of Children's Darkness to Light education program, a training that that's targeted for adults, that helps them understand what child sexual abuse in our community really looks like and the steps that they can take, proactive steps that they can take to change those kinds of situations for children and that they see, that they live with, and that they can have an impact on.
And empower them to be change agents.
Absolutely.
In our community. We have just about a minute left. Is there one final thought you wanted to leave with our listeners today?
Absolutely. You know, when we were, when I was preparing for this, I had thought, and as you know, as I was thinking, people are often afraid to report child abuse. And I think what I would say to them is it's so difficult for children to make a disclosure, to actually be brave enough to make a report that something's happening to them and that they want it to stop and that they don't want it to continue. And there's so much that listeners can do to make a profound difference in the lives of children if they maybe ask that child if something is going on in their lives and if they can dig a little deeper to find out if something is happening to them that rises to the level of suspicion enough for them to make a report of abuse and then to do so, I think it would be huge. Children's advocacy centers within communities are so critical to providing information and knowledge and support to people who have a lot of questions. And we're really lucky because we're part of a network of 777 CACs nationwide. And if anybody has any questions about where to find one, I'd encourage them to also look at our accrediting agency's website, www.nationalchildrensalliance.org.
Thank you, Giselle, for joining us this morning. When a report of child abuse is made, it's critical that the community responds in the most effective and compassionate manner. Rather than shuffling a child among CPS, law enforcement, and other agencies for multiple repetitive interviews, the Child Advocacy Center model puts the child first. By bringing the system to the child, our community collaborates for the best interests and safety of that child. And it's not just the children who benefit. Parents and families, local agencies, and the greater community all benefit when the system works with more compassion and greater efficiency. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Giselle Pelaez from the Center for Alexandria's Children for joining me to talk about this very important topic. Remember, kids need connections. We are all responsible for connecting with the children in our communities, and we can each help families thrive. For more information about reporting child abuse, as well as parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at scanva.org.